Now let's continue on. Come back here to 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. So we will do what the Bible does. We'll tell you what we should do and then tell you what the schemes are. Verse 11, 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. So that we may not be outwitted by Satan. See, Satan is after us. For we are not ignorant of his schemes. Okay? Let's add one more to the list of names of Satan. Okay? This is one I came up with. Infiltrator. Infiltrator. Remember the last Passover? Possessed Satan. Judas, and he was infiltrating the Passover ceremony. And then we'll see a little later, wicked spirits in high places, infiltrators. What happened to the Church of God? Got infiltrated. Agents of organizations whose God is Satan. Ignorant of his schemes. That interesting, schemes. He plots it. He plans it. Okay. Now we will see how Satan works. Now, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry according as we have received mercy, we are not faint-hearted. For we have personally renounced the hidden things of dishonest gain. Try the Trinity Broadcasting System and watch some of those shows. Not walking in cunning craftiness, that's Satan's business, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, that's Satan's business, but by manifestation of the truth. Okay, very interesting. This book I'm reading on the Jesus stenographers is really quite a good book, considering what he had to deal with. And he said that the apostles and ministers were set on teaching the word of God and the words of Christ, not their own. And I think that was really very well put that way. And that's why when we teach, when we go through the Bible, what do? We go through the Bible. We read the scriptures. We compare line upon line, precept upon precept, little here, little there, put it all together. That's exactly what we're doing here now, right? Yes. Okay. By manifestation of the truth, we are commending ourselves to every man's conscience before God. Now, what does that mean? We say, prove it in the Word of God. Don't believe what we say. We're not teaching ourselves. We don't want anyone to follow us. I don't want anyone to follow me. But if I teach what is true in the Bible, then we all have to live by it. Every one of us. Because when the church gets in trouble is when they adopt some of the organizational schemes of Satan, where there is the equal, that is all the brethren, and the more equal, the hierarchy. See? And the more equal can do things that the equal cannot do, which is a satanic lie and one of his schemes. Now you know why the church had to go down. One of the reasons. Okay? Verse 3. But if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden from those who are perishing, in whom the God of this age, now world and age means the same thing, but of this age. When did he become God of this world? When Adam and Eve believed him, followed him, obeyed him, and sinned against God. Then he became God of this world. Now, remember what he told Jesus in the temptation. And the temptation of Jesus is one of the most powerful sections in the New Testament. He told him that he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, like one of a giant television screen, if we could say it today. That'd be hard for people to figure it back what before there was television and screens that big. Remember the first ones they came out with were about 6 inches? Then, boy, it got to 12. Whoopee! 18! Now we have it, the whole wall. And in the stadiums, 100 feet by 60 feet. You can see everything on it. So he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said, all of these I will give you. Now, the reason he said that is because he knew that Christ was going to take them anyway. He says, I'll give them to you now if you will bow down and worship me. Okay? So he became God of this age when Adam and Eve sinned. Has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. They can go back to Matthew 13 where Jesus said, they're blinded, they don't see, they don't hear because they don't believe and they don't obey. Okay? Now, whenever Satan comes in and sneaks in, and we will see that he's organized, and we will see that he has come against the churches of God, he brings something that sounds blessedly true, but it's not. And then you begin to have spiritual blindness, and after a while, it all goes away. That's the work of Satan, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. That's what it is. We teach the word of God. Okay? Now, that makes some people angry and mad. All right? Now, we've covered these before, but let's put it into the equation here. Chapter 11. Did not Jesus say there would be false Christs? Yes, indeed. The Christ of this world is a false Jesus. Jesus was never like that. But they're comfortable with it. They claim the name of Jesus, but they worship him. And you can't do it. You can't worship Christ with the ways of the pagans. You know? What would happen if there was a Catholic who was really, really interested, you said it in a nice way, and because maybe they got lied to. Maybe there was a scheme against them. Maybe there was something that took their money. And they're really angry because they have been lied to, yet they're good Catholics. And if that presented an opening, you could say, and especially if they're mad at the Catholic Church, you could say, what if everything you believe is a lie, but sounds blessedly true? That'd be pretty hard to take. Now, let's read it here, chapter 11. So he says, verse 1, I would that you bear with me in a little nonsense, but indeed do bear with me, for I am jealous over you with the jealousy of God, because I have espoused you to one husband. All of those who are in the church are espoused to Christ. However, there may be another revelation in the book of Revelation which narrows that down to certain ones in the church that will be the bride. Okay. Well, since I said it, let's turn there. Hold your place because we'll come back. Revelation 14. Now, as we're turning there, let's understand that Revelation 7 tells us that those 144,000 are from the children of Israel. And the great innumerable multitude are from all nations and tribes and languages and so forth. So that identifies them. Well, here, and I'll have to bring a sermon on it to show the difference between the 244,000. So let's read it here, Revelation 14, verse 1. And I looked and beheld the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. Then I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters and like the sound of a great thunder, and I heard the sound of lyre players playing their lyres. And they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and elders, and no one was able to learn the song except the 144,000. Now notice, who were redeemed from the earth. Doesn't tell us when we're redeemed. Okay? Not from the tribes of Israel. Interesting, isn't it, huh? Yes, indeed. Now notice verse 4. Here is a qualifier and a descriptive. These are the ones who were not defiled with women. Who was the great horror? Revelation 17. The religions of this world. They are all likened to women because the horror has daughters. Are daughters women? Yes. Not defiled with women. For they are virgins, meaning that they never committed spiritual adultery. Would Jesus marry a virgin? Yes, indeed. All right. And they are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Not sidetracked. They were purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And there was no guile found in their mouths, for they are blameless before the throne of God. All right? Now, let's come back here to 2 Corinthians 11, and then we'll go to Revelation 2 and 3. And we will see if we can maybe get a clue as to who the second group of 144,000 are. They are different than the first group. Now, back here to 2 Corinthians 11. Okay, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. What happens if they follow the false prophets? No longer virgins, right? Could they repent and come back? Yes, but they're no longer virgins. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ, which is obey my voice. For indeed, if someone comes preaching another Jesus, so they were doing that back then. And the world's full of it today. Just put in your notes there, Matthew 7, 21 through 23. See? Then in that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we know you, we did this, we did that, in your name cast out demons, did many wonderful works. And he will say what? Oh, welcome, blessed, come into the kingdom. He will say, no, I never knew you. Why? Because they were using the name of Jesus, but following a different Jesus. Okay? Another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or you receive a different spirit, which comes from what? Satan, the devil. Can he influence people? Yes, we'll see that. Which you did not receive, or a different gospel, which you did not accept, you put up with it as something good. Why, we're open-minded and want to listen to everything. We want to be fair and balanced. Okay? So if you're fair and balanced, then you have half lies and half truth. No longer virgins. All right? Come down here to verse 11. No, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, preaching these things, who are transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Not the real thing, but fake. And it is no marvel, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Isn't that what he did with Adam and Eve? Isn't that what he does to all people? Oh, well, we will bring you enlightenment. It is. Indoctrination into darkness. And what did Jesus say? If the light is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So it is a dark light, not the bright light of Christ. Therefore, it is no great thing if his servants, so he has servants, many servants also transform themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And that's what we see going on in the world, right? Okay. Now, let's come over here to Revelation 2 and 3. So we will connect the two together with Revelation 14. Revelation 2, Church of the Ephesians. Now, just a little side note here. Verse 2, he says to every one of the churches, I know your works. Therefore, it can't be by faith only. Read James, the second chapter. If it's faith only, it is dead. Because by works, your faith is perfected. Because you believe God and do what he says. They go hand in hand. And then he says, your endurance, you cannot bear those who were evil, that you tested those who proclaim themselves to be apostles but are not, and found them liars. But what happened? They got worn out because they left their first love, verse 4, and he tells them to repent. Now, if you leave your first love, what is the first love? Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being, your neighbor as yourself, and the brethren as Christ loves us, right? Yes. If they left their first love, that means they're no longer virgins. All right, but you have this, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which then is the hierarchy. Okay. Now the church is Smyrna. He says, I know your works in tribulation and poverty, but you are rich in the blasphemy of those who declare themselves to be Jews but are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Did they succumb to that? No, they didn't. So this tells us an awful lot, doesn't it? Okay. They went into prison for 10 years. They were killed, but they were faithful unto death. That's what he says. Be faithful unto death, last part of verse 10, and I'll give you a crown of life. They were faithful under the most trying of circumstances unto death. No sin. Okay. The next one is full of sin. Pergamos, where are they? Well, he says, verse 13, notice he says, verse 12, the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things said he who has the sharp two-edged sword, his word. Now, when I gave a sermon on this, a little sidebar here, back in 1986, Ron Carey brought this up to me, and I said what I'm going to tell you here now. If you go too far against God, Christ will fight against you. Did he not do that with the Jews in Jerusalem and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon? And he said, my servant Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and take you down. Okay. All right. So Christ says right here, he says, I know your works, where you dwell, where the throne of Satan is. Now, if you're right in the midst, just put it this way. You are in Rome, but you're holding fast my name, did not deny my faith in the days of Antipas, who was my faithful martyr, was killed among you, where Satan dwells. They were right there where Satan dwells. Did it affect them? Yes. Few things against you, teachings of Balaam, and you're teaching the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, he says, verse 16. Therefore, yes, he says, therefore, he hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans, repent, for if you do not repent, I will come to you quickly and make war against them with the sword of my mouth. So I said in 1986, I see this happening to the church, that Christ is going to fight against his own church because of their sins. 1986. Here we are, what, 30 years later? Did it happen? Yes, it did. All right. Those of Pergamos cannot be considered virgins. If they repent, they will be accepted. All right. Same way with the church at Thyatira. They went into depths, and also we find this. Satan is organized. Synagogue of Satan, the throne of Satan. Here we have Jezebel, the harlot. Okay. Again, false doctrine. And he tells them that they have to repent. And if they don't repent, they're going to lose their salvation because he's going to kill their children with death. Then he says down here in verse 24, but I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, as many do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan as they speak. No longer virgins of any sort at all. Can they repent? Well, some of them, they're not going to. Said, I will cast no other burden upon you. Hold fast what you have till I come. The one who overcomes and keeps my works unto the end. See, that's what you have to do. Now, if you do the works of God that he commands, you're not doing your own. But it requires our full participation and agreement and working and doing and choosing and all of that. Then you come to the church at Sardis, and that's a corpse with a pulse. He says, your works are not complete. Hold fast what you have, and I won't blot your name out of the book of life. Even if you may not have sinned greatly by having incomplete works, you are sinning to the point of being blotted out of the book of life. So if you just hold to the name of Jesus and the Passover and the Sabbath, you'll probably be accepted. But if you leave that, blot out. No longer virgins. Well, Church of Philadelphia. Okay? No sin withstood the synagogue of Satan against his organization, against them. Okay, but notice, what did we read there in Revelation 14? What name was on that 144,000? Name of the Father. Notice, verse 12. The one who overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall not go out anymore, and I will write upon him the name of my God, that's the Father, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Okay? Church of the Laodiceans, they're lukewarm, naked, they're not virgins. Out of the seven churches, two are virgins. Okay? If you have the attitudes and the seven churches existing all the way down through history, and blossoming in the end time, then this applies consistently through the history of the churches. So that maybe helps explain the other 144,000. All right. Now, let's look at some of the schemes of Satan the devil and how he does it. Okay? Now, let's add one more to the name of Satan the devil, since there is no place in the scriptures for this. But let's put it, entertainer. Okay? Entertainer and comedian. Next time you watch any comedies or any cartoons for children, how many are teaching sin, or making fun of sin? The way you introduce sin is with a joke. So he is entertainer and comedian. All right. Let's see how he works. Every once in a while, I get a postcard from someone who says, you say that Satan can inspire. I say only God can inspire. All right. Let's come to Acts, the fifth chapter. Let's see what it says here. Acts 5. Now, what do I mean by that Satan can inspire? I mean he can put a thought into the mind of a human being. And if that happens, that is inspiration. right? Acts, the fifth chapter. Ananias and Sapphira. Remember that? Okay. So they said, when they said, let's sell all of our property and bring it in because there's so many disciples here, we'll share with everyone. They said, yes, we'll sell our property for so much. So they got more. Then they decided to lie. Lying breaks the commandment, you shall not bear false witness. And they bore false witness to Peter, saying, we got it for so much. Okay. And they held back part of the price, verse 2, for himself, his wife being aware of it, and brought a certain portion and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why did Satan fill your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Because you had the Holy Spirit within you, okay? And Peter had the Holy Spirit within him. And to keep back part of the price of the estate. Did Satan put it in his heart? Yes. Can Satan inspire? Yes. So we'll see how that works. Have you ever gone along and there all of a sudden, bing, this thought comes into your mind? Where did that come from? You weren't thinking it. You didn't intend to do it. Well, what you do is rebuke it because that's coming from Satan the devil. We'll see how he does that in just a minute. Yes. Question was, if they told Peter, well, we sold it for more, can we keep some of it? He probably would have said yes, because he says here in verse 4, before it was sold, was it not yours? And after it was sold, was it not in your own authority? Yes, indeed. Then why did you contrive this? All right, let's come to Ephesians, the second chapter. Let's see what Satan is called. Now, as we're turning there, Ephesians, the second chapter, you can just put this in your notes there, the last part of Matthew 6, where Jesus tells the apostles what's going to happen to him when he goes to Jerusalem. Remember what Peter did? He took him aside and rebuked him and said, no, Lord, this isn't going to happen to you, with the impression, we'll fight for you, we'll save you. So what did Jesus say? Oh, Peter, that's such a lovely thought. I know you have great concern for me. No, he said, get you behind me, Satan, for your thoughts are not on the things of God, but on the things of men. Okay? So much for the first pope. Of course, he wasn't the pope. You know, on Church at Home, guess how many we have on Peter Was Never in Rome? 21 segments. All right. Ephesians 2, you know what it says. Now you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you walked in times past according to the course of this world, being of the world, we're not to be, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan the devil, the spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience. He has the power to project and give thoughts to people so they will disobey. How do people all of a sudden come along and they're living just fine? Bang, they run out and commit adultery. Bang, they run out and rob a bank, you know. Bang, they do something else, okay? Where'd the inspiration come from? Right here, Satan the devil. Among whom also we all once had our conduct in. Here's what he appeals to. Lust of the flesh, doing the things willed by the flesh and by the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. How does he do it? Chapter 6. Let's see. Remember, it was the cunnings of the devil. Here it's called the wiles. Okay, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Ephesians 6, verse 10, okay? Put on the whole armor of God. God expects us to resist. God expects us to cast those thoughts down, to expel them from us, see? So that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle. Now think of all the things that Satan has today to get into the minds of people. Television, portable phones, magazines, books, entertainment, music. Oh, yes, music. Movies. How many really good movies could you say glorify God? Zero. Maybe some come close to it. See? Who is behind it? Satan, the devil. Okay? You know, just to show you how it works. Remember the name Kim David? She was the county clerk back there in Kentucky who refused to issue same-sex marriage licenses. Okay? About 4 years ago, she came to Christ, probably one of those Protestant churches that is for Jesus. There are some who are against him. Okay? And she had a very unseemly life. So she stood for the truth, was thrown in jail, and all of the media went in her background and said, "Well, look at what this woman has done." See, they don't understand repentance. They don't understand forgiveness. Why? Because they never want to forgive anyone. That's why. So we have to put on the armor of God. We stand against the wiles of the devil because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, high-level demons, against powers, the evil powers of this world. And that can also mean authorities in the world, against the world rulers of the darkness of this age, those spiritual powers behind the super elite who worship Satan, the devil. Yeah. You look at those videotapes from the Center for Medical Progress about what they do with abortions. They have to be dedicated to Satan, the devil, to accept that as an ordinary course of work for the day. To kill, to destroy, to pull apart, to maim, and so forth. And then talk about it while you eat a chicken salad and drink your wine and laugh about it that you need more live cadavers so that you can buy a Lamborghini, you know. And the one woman who said that, when I saw her, I said, that woman looks the epitome of one who is dedicated to Satan the devil. See? So, okay. Then it shows what we need to do, okay? Therefore, take up the whole armor that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having worked out all things to stand, you have to stand against the enemy. You have to stand for the truth. You have to stand for the way of God. You have to stand for the word of God. It's like that Kim Davis did. Got thrown in jail. And it is true. And okay, so we have to stand. Now let's understand something too, that in doing this, we have to do it with the word of God. See? And remember this, Satan's temptations are always presented as a benefit. Okay? Think about that. Isn't that what he did with Ananias and Sapphira? Well, look, you have a benefit. You get a little more money. Don't tell them anything about it, okay? Always a benefit that is not gained lawfully, contrary to the law of God, okay? And that is how he presents everything. Look at the lotto. You'll get a benefit, you'll win, okay? But when I send some money overseas, I send it by MoneyGram. Now, MoneyGram is in Nob Hill. And so I was standing in line, and here was this man. He was a daily buyer of tickets, lotto tickets. So I just make a little chit-chat, and I said, "Oh, how much have you have won?" I says, "Well, I buy a ticket every day, And I said, oh, really? How much have you won? He says, I think one time I won $50. Well, I let the conversation drop there because I didn't want to ask him, well, how much did you spend to get that $50? See? You'll get a benefit. Buy this ticket. And then you see someone who wins and you lust. Look at they won. Well, if they won, I can win. I'll buy some more tickets, change it, get this one, get that one. Oh, buy Powerball. Win $100 million. Okay? No, that's all lust. You're taking money from someone else based upon a lie. See? We'll do good with it. We'll use the money for schools. Really? Okay? So therefore, here's what we need to do spiritually. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, and wearing the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Always walking in the way of God. That's what it is. Besides these, take up the shield of faith, with which you will have the power to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Boop. Boop. And a lot of those things come right through the television. Okay? Besides all this, take up the shield of faith. Yes, we read that. Verse 17. And put on the helmet of salvation. You've got to have your brain protected. And that's what's so evil with the coming of the mark of the beast. They are going to control your thoughts. I've got an article. I didn't bring it. What's the next rage? Implanted high tech. You will be the smartest around. You can control machines by your thoughts. Wave your hand. Won't tell you the end of it, but that's a benefit. Okay. Helmet of salvation, protect your brain. And it says there in Proverbs 4, 23 and 24, diligently guard the door of your mind. And that also means heart. Okay? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In other words, you must know the Word of God. What have you heard repeated over and over again your whole life in the church? Study and prayer. Right? There it is, right there. Verse 18, praying at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, in this very thing being watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So, we know the wiles of the devil. We know his tricks. We know his benefits. And we also know the Word of God. So, when we come to the Day of Atonement, then we're going to see what God is going to finally do with Satan, the devil, to remove him. Now, God loves the world so much that we need to put in here that even all of those people who have sinned against Christ, committed all of these horrible sins, if they haven't committed the unpardonable sin, they will be raised to a second physical life to have an opportunity for salvation, and Satan won't be around. Now, how is that for fairness and justice and judgment and love? Fantastic, isn't it? Well, we're the ones that are going to help them. So, we'll see you next time. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.